Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Kim Williams.
And you are listening to Fiber Talk, the midweek version of that twice-weekly podcast for people who make beautiful art out of thread and needle.
I like that. Yeah. That's a good new one.
I'm going upscale. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're not stabbing things anymore?
No. We're going upscale. Art.
Okay.
Artistic. Yes.
Very nice. Thank you. So, speaking of stabbing things, that's not a segue. I wanted to ask you, and I'll tell you how that segue happened in a minute. Have you started your embroidery project with your monogram that you're working through two layers of fabric yet?
No.
You haven't. Okay.
You have a
tip
for me?
The reason I bring that up. Well, no, the reason I bring it up is that when I was working, the first time I was working on a project that had two layers of fabric, it was a silk and a muslin backing. I was doing the same thing. I was stitching on it, and I must have been working with an embroidery needle, but the eye must have been a tiny bit larger. The thread was larger, and so it has that really satisfying snap sound to it when you puncture and then you pull the thread through. And I was sitting with my now husband, and he's saying, "That is such a violent sound." And to me, it's just this very soothing sound because it's very repetitive and, you know, it's sure. associated with this, you know, this act of creating and everything. And to him, it's just the isolated sound. And so to him, it was just this very violent snap and then the drawing of the thread through. So when you start, you'll have to listen for that.
Okay. Now, see, some people would suggest that your needle isn't big enough if you're making that sound.
Probably. That's probably true.
Yeah. Though I mean, even to get rid of it all the way, it seems like you have to go to a ridiculously big needle, so I don't do it. But, yeah, I don't know.
Well, you're also going through, like, for needlepoint, and when you're working with something that's got, you know, larger holes that you're spreading apart, I've definitely taken to your idea, and Debbie Rowley, actually, many, many months ago had suggested when I have any kind of, I was stitching with like maybe neon rays or something and trying to get it to lie flat. And the suggestion was to use a larger needle and make the hole bigger so that the ribbon would have a larger space to lie flat.
Right.
But with a not counted cloth like silk or something, you know, how big of a needle do you want to go? And I don't know how forgiving the fabric is. So I was just using a regular, you know, embroidery right. needle. It wasn't anything particularly large or small. In fact, it was just whatever was recommended by the class that I was doing. It was just an online class.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. If that's what they recommended, that, you know, that should be mm-hmm. the deal. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's pretty dense. It's dense fabric too. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Possible. I would have to try that. That's a good experiment to do. Is to try stitching it with a larger needle. And see if it's how it works out, because you want to make sure that that the fabric will sort of flow back. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, but also you want the hole big enough it doesn't drag on the
thread.
Yeah, and I assume, you know, here we are both talking about something we really don't know anything about, but I assume that with linen and muslin, it's not as coarse as a needlepoint canvas, so you would not have as much irritation on the thread.
I would agree with that in my experience, my limited amount of experience.
Yeah.
That said, so one thing that I learned from the online course with Celeste Chalsani was she was teaching a little bit about long and short stitch and needle painting.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that she talked about was when you're stitching to do long and short stitch, you think about you lay down the first row of stitches and you've got long stitches and short stitches. You can go one of two ways in your second row. Normally, sort of the rule is you come up in a clean area, you go down in a dirty area, right? You go in, you go down into where you have threads already.
Right.
With this, her suggestion was to do it the opposite way. And I had done my first stitching before, my first long and short stitch needle painting before I had taken the class, and I'd done it the opposite way. I'd done it according to the convention where you come up through clean fabric, go down through an area you'd already stitched, and it looked rough. right? Because you could see pretty much everywhere I put down the needle. And what her suggestion was is that, sorry, I'm a little inelegant in speaking today. Her suggestion was to, instead of coming up through the fabric and going down through the already stitched area, you do the opposite. You come up through where you've already stitched. And the idea is that you're trying to do the thing you usually try to avoid, which is you're trying to come up through the threads and fray them a tiny bit. And what you do by doing that is you blend the area that you've just come through. So the whole area becomes like a beautiful, very satiny area instead of seeing very distinct lines mm-hmm. of where your stitches have gone in, if that makes sense.
No, so it makes perfect sense. Yeah.
It's worth doing it sort of on the side and trying it a little bit both ways to see the difference, because it is a marked difference for sure.
So it went from looking like this forced, crude sewing of threads together to something that was really, in effect, all one piece.
It blended much better.
Yeah.
I will say that, because you could split threads if you needed to. You could also see better where you needed to come up. Mm-hmm. It just made more sense that way. And it did. It frayed the threads a tiny bit. And I found that with both cotton and silks. And the silks, you just get that nice sheen, and the sheen just tended to blend a little bit better. It was a noticeable difference.
That's interesting, because it really goes against everything that we're taught. Yes,
it does, and that's one of those things that you wouldn't, you know, it's a thing that you wouldn't learn unless somebody taught you,
right?
Or maybe you would, maybe you try it both ways and then you'd see the difference. But that was a really good, that was a game changing tip, I think, because it made a huge difference in the way things looked.
Yeah. Because I have not done the needle painting, so I'm curious. Because well done, that is an amazing accomplishment to get all that to blend.
I think even just long and short stitch, even if you're not blending colors, the same thing applies. You'll blend in where the stitches are a little bit better if you're coming up through an area that you've already stitched.
Yeah,
it's pretty good.
Okay,
that was good.
Good tip.
Yeah.
Good tip. All right. I have to clean up from the this past Sunday Debbie Rowley thing. When we recorded it, the idea of giving away a package of Hands Across the Sea samplers greeting cards happened at that moment. It was not planned at all. So, because when we were asking people, you know, about movies. So that was on the fly. And I never did put a deadline down. So the deadline for that is midnight, April 15, this coming Sunday, midnight April Eastern time, April 15, to have your entry in. And then you will win, if I draw your name, then you will win a package of cards from the Hands Across the Sea. And they're beautiful cards. You got it.
They are.
Yeah. So we have a few entries so far. And I have been fascinated by the movies. Because the idea is movies that you can stitch with them on and don't have to look up every 3 seconds. You know, long minutes can go by without looking up and you can keep up. So I listed them out because I thought it was interesting. So Vicki Palmer. Now this one, Vicki Palmer says Braveheart. Lots of battle action. Usually the battles are the same, which I think didn't speak well for the movie, but. Now, I've never seen Braveheart. That is the one movie that, as I recall, it's quite long. And it's the one movie I want to see, but I want to see it when I can, when I can sit down for 3 hours and watch it. And I've just never gotten to that point because it seems to be a movie that is right up my alley. Have you seen it?
I have seen pieces of it. It's one of those movies that's kind of on all the time.
Yes. Yes.
So maybe you don't have to wait. Maybe you should just put it on and go for it.
Well, see, every time it comes on, it's somewhere in the middle, and I want to watch it from the beginning.
Well, maybe it's sounding like you maybe don't have to.
Based on this,
that's
yes.
That's the sense I'm getting.
Yeah, based on this, repetition seems to be the case. So... Mm-hmm. So that was interesting. And then Cindy Baldwin, she rotates through Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit, Hunger Games, the Divergent series. I don't know that one. And an occasional musical. Yeah. You know the Divergent series?
Yeah. It was a book series that's kind of along the lines of those that you've just listed off.
Oh, okay.
I read the books. I haven't seen the movies.
Okay. Now, Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit, I've seen both of those at the theater, and I have to say, I just got bored. They go on forever.
Well, there you go. If you were switching, you probably wouldn't.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I read those books, and at some point, I was forcing myself to read them just for the, you know, to say that I read them. But it's like, I don't even care anymore. You know, I just don't care. Get to the mountain all you want. I just don't care. So, but, and Harry Potter, I've never gotten into that. I saw the first one, never cared after that. But Hunger Games, I saw all those. And they went one movie too long on that. But that is one of those movies you can watch. Once you've seen it, you can stitch to and not miss things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then Rose, last name unknown, Lord of the Rings, Singing in the Rain. Well, okay. But then this one here, Indiana Jones. Now, there's a series of movies you can definitely watch and stitch and not miss anything.
Yes.
And my favorite thing about the original Indiana Jones is from Big Bang Theory, the TV show.
Yeah.
Amy Farrah Fowler, who is Sheldon, who is kind of the main character, his girlfriend, he forces her to watch, coerces her into watching Indiana Jones, and they get all done, and he's all excited because he just thinks it's just the greatest thing ever put on film, and she points out that everything in that movie could have happened or would have happened whether Indiana Jones was involved or not. He had no impact or influence whatsoever on the entire plot line. And she's right.
Fair.
Because I have yet to come up with a thing that he had to do in the movie that changed the plot line or affected it. I mean, you could just take him out and it would still be the same basic movie. And so when that one came up, I thought, yeah, and because that's all. Matter of fact, I've only seen it once since I saw that show, Big Bang Theory show, since, because I just lost interest in it because, yeah, it has nothing to do with it. So, but those are good movies. And then that that reminded me of the Bourne, the Matt Damon Bourne series.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. Another one you can do.
That's one that you've mentioned before.
Oh, did I?
Yeah. You've liked that one.
I'm repeating
a lot.
Okay.
I feel like we're listing out movies that sound like they're going to be really good and then aren't as good as you think they're going to be.
No. So far, yeah. But now, like Connie Bell says, Hunt for Red October, yay. The Roger Moore and Sean Connery Bond movies. Yeah, I mean, I like those. I always see a Bond movie. Yeah.
Or maybe it's just movies that you've seen so many times that you already know what's going to happen, so you're not going to miss anything.
Right, but I think they all have that element of you can see them 100 times and they don't get old.
Yes, that is true. You're right.
You know, that's the, like, Hunt for Red October, to me, I don't know how many times I've seen that, and it just never gets old. I just enjoy the scenes all the way through. And so, you know, that it just never gets old for me. Lord of the Rings, yeah. Jeez. Get there and get it over with. So anyway, yeah, some good ones, I think.
Yeah.
Good ideas.
Yeah. You know, I will add, so since I've been home a lot and not doing a whole lot of anything, one of the things that I've been watching TV, which I don't tend to watch a lot of TV generally. But I haven't been able to do much of anything else. So I've been, you know, searching high and low for anything to watch.
Yeah.
So I watched.
Good luck.
I'm almost done. Yeah. I'm almost done watching, from beginning to end all over again, all of Breaking Bad. And that has been really great to stitch to because that's something that I could watch again and again. Mm-hmm. And you already know what's going to happen. You know where the really good scenes are, so you know when to kind of look up. So that's been really great. And it just goes on and on forever. So That's a pretty good one.
Yeah.
I like.
Now, see, Marga and I have been, and Netflix and Amazon changed this game because of those series
yeah.
like that. Because Newsroom is one that we watched all the way through, and now we're watching a second time through, and just as good the second time.
I have heard good things about that. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that changes the game. Longmire is, I think that's on Netflix, about a sheriff in Wyoming. And three or four seasons of that, and oh man, I finished it, and I may just go back and watch it again. Same kind of thing, yeah. There's enough dialogue to keep you going, and when the action comes, you can look up, and yeah. It'll be That's interesting when we get by the time we get to the end of the week, what kind of a list we have here, and I'm putting the list on the website at wetalkfiber.com. I'm putting the list. So
all right.
Actually, what I should do. Is I'll put the list and then I'll add to it. So as you and I come up with stuff or other people suggest, we'll add to it. So
okay.
Yeah. Okay. That's what we're doing. Now I tripped over this. Carol, I didn't trip over it. I found it because I was reading through Needlepoint Nation. Carol Graham posted today that she had done a monogram, and I put this in the list of things to talk about today for you specifically. A book called Charted Monograms for Needlepoint and Cross-Stitch, edited by Rita Weiss. And at Amazon, it's a paperback book. It's Amazon at $6 and at $3.50 at Barnes & Noble. It's available everywhere for varying prices, but I don't think any of them more than $7.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 350 monograms from a rare Viennese album printed at the turn of the century. And yeah, they're all kinds of alphabets and numerals and in all shapes and sizes charted for needlework. And I thought, now there's a, you're talking, thinking about my Mary Corbett alphabet sampler thing, there's a book to have. Because at any time, you know, for travel, take along thing, at any time, you could put together a quick little monogram project.
Yeah, and it sounds like they're adaptable to a lot of different types of things.
Yeah. Yeah. So I thought that was neat. And it's just, it's a paperback book. And you know, most of these hobby books always have the 15% hobby surcharge on them. Like, you know, a $25 book becomes $35 because it's for a hobby. And and that's probably because they don't sell nearly as many as they do. But this one, yeah, you just pick it up. It's just cheap. So... because that for $3.50 or even $6, that's the kind of thing. Yeah, that's the kind of thing where you have no trouble just cutting it open, you know, cutting it apart and just having individual sheets or having it spiral bound or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Being in a loose leaf binder or something like that.
Right, right.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. So there you have it. Charted Monograms for Needlepoint and Cross Stitch, edited by Rita Weiss. I'll put a link to the Amazon one. But I did a search and it was available everywhere. So, yeah, I just thought, so Carol Graham, thanks for that. And then I've sent you, as I've tripped over them here in the last couple, 3 weeks, two or three free charts. And we had talked about this a few weeks ago about how many free charts a lot of designers make available. There's, you know, there's just a lot of them that they're not, you know, they're small things, but small little projects. And, you know, I mean, every time I trip over one, I'll save it. Probably never stitch any of them, but I have a little folder on my computer where I keep all of them. Just, you know, because if all right, I got a spare piece of cloth, want to use up some thread, going to go on a trip or something, I'll throw it together and stitch it, you know? So, yeah, and then today, Carol Lake of Stitch Play Designs, somebody stitched something, and she said that there was a similar... free chart on her website, Bally High, HA'I. So I went there and looked, and sure enough, one of those, and there was another one called Berryville. She had four free charts, and the other one was Berryville. And I thought both of those were really neat at stitchplay.com. But, you know, people talk about, well, I got to buy a chart or whatever, but you can keep yourself pretty busy and eat up a lot of stash just by using these small free charts that designers put together. You know, I'm sure they have like a little idea that'll never be a big thing, and so they put it together and chart it out, and then there you have it. You know, go ahead and use
it. Yeah. I like those because they're sort of small price of entry projects, you know, especially for a new technique that you haven't done before. You know, if you want to work with a new fiber or you haven't worked with a particular type of something, you know, ground cloth or even if you want to, you know, sometimes I'll look at something and it's in needlepoint, but I think it's a good idea. But I wonder if it would be a better or what it would look like as an embroidery project or as a cross stitch. Sometimes those things are nice to sort of look at that way, you know?
Right.
So you don't, but you haven't done that technique. So you grab a chart, you know, you don't want to do a big thing, but you grab a little something just to sort of get your feet under you in that technique.
Yeah.
They're good for that.
Well, and this Bally High one has a big old double fan double in the middle that we talked about with Debbie Rowley.
There you go.
And, you know, just a simple little thing, but there's an excellent way without any investment, I mean just a scrap of canvas and some thread, that you can learn to do a big double fan double and really get some good practice. Like you said, it's just a good way to get some good practice, and when you're all done you have a little something. So
right, and then you know if it's not your favorite most perfect double fan double, you've only done a little one, and if you want to do it again you do it again.
Right. Yep. So I just look around, people. You know, and people post these a lot. The designers do. My favorite free one is the one that Debbie Rowley has on her homepage that you can get if you just put your name on her mailing list. And I think I've mentioned this before. I got that one and stitched it in the colors she recommended, and then had that put into a little square jewelry box and gave it to our daughter-in-law. And it worked out beautiful. It's, you know, typical Debbie Rowley, several stitches, different colors, a little Krynek. And it really is beautiful. And that's, you just got to give your name and address so that you keep up and learn about Debbie's new stuff. And there's no harm in that.
No, and, certainly.
But yeah, that's my favorite of the freebies. And it's little, I think it's like 4 by 4 inches, you know, just a simple little thing. So, yeah, a lot of those good practice pieces. Yep. Okay, I finally got my tulip needles.
Ah, okay, tell me about them.
They did come the last Wednesday, the day after we recorded. Got them, first I have to put a plug in for Hancock's of Paducah, Kansas. A little plug for them because their customer service is fantastic. Really, really great. Just really all the way around. So happy with them, so I'll be doing business with them, I think, in the future. But, those needles, yep, worth every penny, yep.
Really?
Oh, they're like silk, they're just like silk going through canvas, yeah, through cloth, yeah, yep.
And you got tapestry needles?
I got both.
Yeah.
Tapestry and embroidery, because I'm going to use them on when I do the Mary Corbett thing. But tested them both, and yeah, they just slide through like glass. And those embroidery needles, ooh, are they sharp. Be careful. Yep.
All right. Well, that does it for me. I'm certainly going to have to.
Yeah. No, I have to say, really nice. Like I like my Bowen needles. I really do. They're nice, but oh, there's an extra little glide to these. They're ground polished vertically, according to the literature that comes with it. They're instead of around the diameter, they're polished from head to toe. So,
right, that makes sense.
So any grinding lines are going to just help the needle flow through. But they're just beautifully finished. You can just tell there's an extra element of quality in the finish. I mean, they're just smooth as, oh, they're beautiful. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. I can see why Mary bought some and then bought some more and then bought some more. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. So, and this, oh, no, I forgot to write that down. Somebody else suggested another brand. Now I have to look it up. Next week I'll have that. But I just didn't know that there were so many different kinds of needles. I thought it was John James and Bowen and then whatever else. But, there's apparently this whole upper tier of really quality needles. So, yep.
Well, now we know.
And Yeah. It's probably overkill, but who cares?
You know what? If it makes your stitching better and it makes your life easier and it makes your hands more comfortable, then it's worth it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and you know, in Mary's case, that's, I think that's an interesting benefit, is that her hand strain went away. Because, I mean, I'd be surprised, people like her who stitch all the time, you know, like hours and hours every day, at some point, you hear it frequently about their hands get sore and tired, and I'm sure get even arthritic to a point.
Yeah.
So anything that helps relieve that. I got to find somebody who can talk about ergonomics. I keep forgetting to do that.
Yeah, because, that would be nice.
Yeah, because there's a lot to be learned from good ergonomics that will help you stitch longer, but also not end up with repetitive injury things. Injury, whatever. Repetitive, whatever they call it. Where you get injured because you do things a lot, do the same thing a lot. Yeah, that.
Yeah, yeah.
There's another word I'm forgetting.
I know. Don't ask me. This is
no, I'm not going to ask you
right now.
No. I knew better than to ask you.
Well, and I think it's worth talking to somebody, you know, and it doesn't even have to be an expert, really. Finding ways around, I don't want to use the word disability. That's words I've been using lately around here a lot. Finding ways around things that your body isn't doing very well. So if your hands are arthritic and your fingers are stiff, what things do you do to compensate for that so that you can keep stitching the way that you used to? Or maybe you're stitching a little bit differently, but so that you can keep stitching at all, you know? Right. So it's not a matter of that you can't do it anymore. It's just that you have to learn a different way. So is it learning to hold the needle differently? Is it using a different kind of needle, maybe using a longer needle so it's easier to grasp? So what things do people do to make it easier to hold things? And so the reason it comes up for me is that part of this whole car accident thing, you know, I lost some function and my fine motor controls is really not as good as it was, and it's coming back. But gripping things with my fingers, and you wouldn't notice it, like to hold a pen or a brush or a utensil, you would never notice it, but to hold a needle and to put it into, you know, a 22 count canvas, that's when you really sort of put your body to the test of what it can do. And so that's when I started noticing that, you know what, my hands aren't as dexterous as they were. So when that starts becoming an issue, what do people do to overcome that? So what little tricks do you find that you do?
Yeah.
You know, do you support your hand in a different way? Do you lean on things if you have a tremor? Like, you know, what little things do people do to overcome? Because I think that's something that's really useful, because everybody's got something, you know, if it's a little bit of a tremor or a little bit of weakness on one side of the body or the other, or, you know, stiffness in hands. I mean, this is all something that, you know, that we all deal with. So, and I'm sure that everybody has a little thing that they've learned to do. And yeah. So, I mean, tulip needles is a great example of that. You know, if you just change the needle that you're using, it might be a lot easier to do what you need to do. So it would be worth having a repository of those sorts of things as well. You know, what things do you do to make your stitching easier?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, taking that a step further, I mean, I do a lot of cycling. Like I love to be out on the road on my bike for 3-4 hours, and I'm just fine doing that. I love it. And in the past year, I have felt my sense of balance, not on my bike, but my sense of balance, like putting on pants, you know, and standing on one leg, mm-hmm. I got to lean on something. Or I start to fall over before I can get my leg in and back down on the floor,
yes.
You know, that kind
yeah.
of thing, has not been good. And I felt like the only mobility, the only real mobility I've had is straightforward, and the only range of motion was the range of motion required to turn the pedals. and my upper body and my core have just deteriorated to the point where there's enough strength there to ride on a bike, but you know, it's just not good. So I'm on a mission. I went to a personal trainer because I didn't know, you know, all I ever knew was what they, in terms of stretching or anything, all I ever knew was what I learned in high school gym class, you know, toe touches, pull ups, push ups, that kind of thing. So I went to a personal trainer. I've been to her 4 times now. And I described, just as I did here, this is what I'm experiencing, and I think I need to change that and change it quickly, as I, because I'm getting older and I need to regain some flexibility and some lateral strength. And she, in 4 times, and then of course I've seen her 4 times, but then every morning when I ride my bike, then I'm putting in another hour afterwards of doing the things she's taught me. Remarkable in 2 weeks, remarkable change in how I feel. Remarkable. In that she has, and it's all been lateral stretching, a lot of active stretching, and using light weights, and just all kinds of little things that she's taught me, that now I can stitch longer, more comfortably already. And this is just, you know, I'm putting a lot on 4 stays and 2 weeks of this, but I can't believe how much better I feel all the way around, just doing some basic stretching things. You know, I'm not in there lifting up barbells and all that kind of stuff. I mean, but it's stretching that is at times painful, but it has really made a difference for me, and already a little bit of more additional core strength. But yeah, it's that, and it's all that lateral movement. And one of the things she showed me, one thing I learned is that I've always known my left leg was lazy, and it's a lot lazier than I think it is, so it's getting to work out. But one of the things she showed me is those of us who sit at desks all the time, how short our chest and ligaments and muscles get, and don't get stretched out. And she's really been working me hard on getting those stretched out and getting my shoulders back so they aren't in the standard keyboard hunched over position. And wow, that's been a difference maker. So, you know, I'm just right now, I'm just charged up about this, because I just feel so much looser and so much better from this stretching, and it's translated into being more comfortable stitching. I mean, there's no doubt about it. So
yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So that's, you know, and that's the kind of thing. And now what she's got me doing is when I'm stitching or throughout the day, you know, of course, find 5 minutes and go stretch something. And,
yeah.
Just stretch one thing, at least you stretch something. And, yeah, it's remarkable, because we, you know, you and I both, I mean, well, I think you move around a little more at work than I do, but I mean, I just sit in front of a computer all day long, and it's all I do. And I get up, you know, every half hour or so just to give my eyes something different to look at, but that's all I do. And, that's never good. So, yeah, big fan.
And then you sit and stitch, right? And
right,
then,
I know.
Yeah,
get done, have dinner, and then sit and stitch in the same position. Yeah, exactly.
Right, straining your eyes and
yeah.
It's. I think that having a little bit of strength training is good for a lot of things. You know,
yes.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's good for needlework, because it just brings your body into balance. You know, you're strengthening muscles that you aren't using, so I think you're just more in alignment that way.
Yeah. No, it's it's amazing to me, and I'm just getting started. But all, you know, it's like you could just feel, as I'm stretching, I could just feel things just kind of popping loose and stretching out, and you let go, and it's like, oh man, that feels good now. So. Because I just felt like I was walking, like all my movements were in this really narrow, straightforward tunnel. And if I had to do anything to either side, it was just out of kilter. And That's all she does. She works just about everything I do is lateral movement, one way or the other, and yeah, it's working.
You should go to a yoga class.
My sister Nancy, she sings that song all the time, and I've tried it, and I have to say I had good success. I just couldn't keep up. I just didn't keep up with it. So you do that regular?
I don't, and I think I might. That actually might be a really good idea for me to do, because I was doing weight training before, and I had to stop, you know, since I've been sort of not doing anything. But doing weight, doing yoga is really good for exactly that. It's strength, but it's also a lot of stretching. So it's really good for that. And if nothing else, it'll point out to you which areas of your body are not strong. you can go work on those. But yeah, as far as getting that kind of a stretch in, it's really good for that.
Yeah. Yeah, I should probably go back and try that, because I had bought a DVD and was doing it for a short while, but I just didn't get into it. But the thing that amazes me about this, and of course now we've turned a stitching podcast into exercise, but the thing that amazed me about working with this trainer is I would work with her for an hour and could barely walk to the car and really didn't ever break a sweat.
Yes.
But thoroughly exhausted stem to stern. You know,
that doesn't surprise me at all. And you know what? It's not too off topic to talk about this, though, because I think it's exactly the same thing you were talking about with working at a computer all day. If you sit and stitch, you know, you're in a weird body position sometimes, unless you talk about sitting in an ergonomic chair. But how many of us sit on a couch or in a recliner or in some way, and you're focused on what your hands are doing and what your eyes are doing, and you're not focused at all on what your body is doing? And then how many times do you stop stitching because you're stiff or you've been watching a TV and you haven't gotten up and moved? And if and I noticed this with myself, like, you know, since I haven't been doing any weight training, I get tired stitching quicker because my muscles aren't strong enough, so they're not balancing me, so I'm just, you know, all out of whack now. Yeah. So if you have stronger muscles, you're able to sit longer, you know, you're able to do things better.
Yep.
So, you know, it's just like any other activity. It is a physical activity. It's just a physical activity where you're holding still for a while. Yeah. So, you know, having some strength there is a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's been short and quickly. I did not expect this kind of turnaround, or not turnaround, but progress. So quickly, but boy, really, really have noticed it. And I've been pretty dedicated. Now, the trick for me is if this weather we've been having here, and yeah, you have too, ever enters anything that's not winter-like, I'll be able to go outside and ride. And then when I ride for, go for 2 or 3 hours and come back to go through some of these stretching exercises and these active exercises when I come back, that's going to be a real discipline for me. I've been thinking about that, and I may just, because usually when I come back, I just want water and food, you know,
yeah.
I don't care about anything else. And I may have to discipline myself to do that at another time of the day, because I always do it first thing in the morning, I always ride. So I may have to discipline myself to do it another time of the day. But regardless, I have to keep doing it, because if it's in this short amount of time, it's going to make as much difference as I've experienced long term. It's going to be a huge payoff. So got to keep doing it. Yeah. Yep. And what is the old adage about losing weight? Move more, eat less. Yeah.
Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah. And Americans don't do real well at the move more part.
Mm-hmm. No.
we're just not. Yeah. Yep.
We're not good at that.
Nope. All right. That's it.
Alrighty.
Jean Farish is our guest on Sunday. Jean Farish. And we got to talk about cruises.
Yes.
What did we talk about? That was, I dug back in her blog way back long ago and found a whole series of tips. And so we talked for 15 or 20 minutes about tips for stitching. That was really enlightening. So, yep. She was fun.
It was. So that'll be great.
Yep. That's Sunday. And then we'll be back next Wednesday with something else. Maybe more exercise talk.
No, maybe. So.
All right. That's it. Thanks for listening. Gene Farish on Sunday.
Take care.